fall transition is one of my favorite times of year, but the transition from then into winter is sometimes even better.
Time for the Angler Within podcast with Roy Bilby.
Good to see you. You been out fishing?
I did get out today for a little while. Tell you what, man, you've got me hooked on those spinner baits.
They're magic in the fall.
They've been the most productive. I haven't really, the only soft plastic I'm using is on a spinner bait right now. Today I tied, you'd be proud. I was throwing a skirted jig with a 20 inch fluorocarbon leader off of it tied to a fluke
behind. That's good in the fall.
Nothing happened, but I was waiting for something enormous to hit it and nothing. So I'm gonna go back out there and try some more with it. Just a simple jig on that, right? You just bounce it on the bottom and it makes the top one kind of like jerk around
a bit,
you know.
Yep, it works. I started using a 7-inch Magnum fluke for smallmouth, of all things, a 7-inch bait. And let me tell you what, when you're throwing that and you're winding it back, I hear the Jaws theme in my head.
Yeah.
That little background, that dun, 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 dun. Your heart's pounding because when you get a strike, you know, a smallmouth chewing on a 7-inch bait, he's big enough to get your attention.
Yes.
It catches some slammers. And nobody uses that for smallmouth, but you do it this time of year, hang on and be ready. It's crazy. Throwing a 7-inch Magnum fluke for smallmouth, of all things.
So it seems like the turnover is working its way through. A lot of places aren't 100% done. You said it should be done by now, and I haven't noticed that it's done by now.
Well, it depends on when it started.
There's that too.
It depends on when it started. It doesn't start at the same time every place. Again, like I said before, it goes to the volume of water, the size of the body, how much deep versus shallow water, all those things. There's a lot of factors at play. And depending on the weather you have during the turnover period, it can be prolonged, it can be sustained, or it can be a one and done deal in a week later. Everything's settled out and you're catching them. I know I checked a largemouth spot the other day and did exceedingly well until the geese tore the place up. This particular body of water has a lot of geese that live there. But this time of year, there's a lot more birds than ever. They sleep on the water at night and then they leave soon as it's daylight to go to the fields and feed, whether on cut corn or green fields or what have you, whatever their whim is. And about 9:30, 10 o'clock, right up through till 11:30, 12, they start coming back in groups. And I had groups of 10, 20, 30, up to 40 birds at a time coming back. There's typically 80 to 100 geese that live on this place. But man, the other day when I was there, a spinnerbait was working better than anything, but I had to get into an area where the fish were grouped up. The turnover had ended in this body of water, and I found them grouped up, and man, I shot up through the numbers quick. But I'm on the upper end of this lake, and all these geese start flying back about 9:30, and by the time all was said and done, there was over 300 geese on the bottom end of this lake. And as I'm working around, I get to where the geese have been and my bite is shut off. They just, too many birds on the water. I mean, they're challenging each other a lot and going after each other and thrashing and splashing and carrying on and squawking. You got over 600 feet down below the surface tearing things up. And once I got to every place the geese had been, because they just started moving ahead of me, all that water that was good before is shot now. I'm not pulling anything out. So thank goodness I went around completely once before I was hitting the water that the geese had tore up. I'd already gotten my numbers and done well. I am, at this point, for anybody following my bass count, I am 22 bass shy of hitting my 1,000 for the year so far. So that'll happen in October. That could likely happen tomorrow when I go out after largemouth again in a much larger lake where I know turnover has been completed. I got a report from a guy who lives there, and he said, I caught my personal best today, and I'll see you Friday. So I'm going there tomorrow, and if I can whack 22 largemouth there or smallmouth, I'll hit 1,000 for the year. Interestingly enough, the way my numbers ran last year, I'm 22 shy of breaking 1,000 for 2024. But I am exactly 250 bass shy of breaking 37,000 since I started counting in 1986. So before the year is out, I'll hit 37,000.
Wow.
So that'll be another big milestone. Looking forward to it. It never gets old. Every time I come up on one of those milestones, like when I have 21 bass and the next one is 1,000, my heart still races. It, you know, you get that strike, it's electric. You just got to land the fish. And typically, number 1,000 for the year is a 10-inch fish, and number 1,001 is a 3 or 4 pounder without fail. I can't tell you how many times. Don't you want a picture of number 1,000? No, it's a dink. I don't want a picture of a 10-inch bass. You can't hold it close enough to the camera to make it look big. Your hand's 5 times bigger than your head. Everybody knows what you're doing. And you can't get away with that. But it's fun to try. And it'll be the same deal. When I'm on 36,999, your heart's just pounding until you get that strike. And when you do, it's 37,000. That's a milestone. That'll be a celebration. So it'll be for smallmouth, though, because after tomorrow's trip, We're well into October now. I switch over to smallmouth because of the fall transition. And that's what I want to talk about on our podcast today. Fall transition is following turnover when everything settles out and the water temperature is the same throughout the lake now, same throughout the body of water that you're fishing, but those water temperatures start to drop a degree every day or so. Because nights are getting colder, days are getting cooler. Yeah, we'll have Indian summer. We'll still have a day that flirts with upper 70s, maybe 80. But by and large, it's going to start getting 60 degrees will be a warm day. And then the days are getting shorter and shorter. There's less and less sunlight on the water. And as that water temperature drops down below the 60 degree range, and they're headed there now, most of the places I'm checking are in the mid 60s now, when they were in the mid 70s, just, you know, how many weeks ago, 3-4 weeks ago. So it's already started. And once they hit the 50 to, you know, the upper 50s, the smallmouths just start feeding like crazy. Largemouth do too, but I just can't get off my smallmouth this time of year. The rest of the month of October, November especially. November, I have forgotten completely about largemouth. I'm all about smallmouth. I'm fishing creeks, rivers, lakes. Fall transition is one of my favorite times of year, but the transition from then into winter is sometimes even better. The 50-degree range, when the water's in the 50-degree range, you got to monitor the water temperature. That'll let you know a lot of the time what's going on. But this time of year, when it's still in the lower half of the 60 degree range, if I'm in my rivers and creeks now, I'm throwing a lot of moving baits. Yeah, they'll hit a spinner bait now. Smallmouth will crush it, and they'll hit it in the lakes too. They're back chasing bait. And October is the month for me to throw the umbrella rig, or the Alabama rig, or the A-rig as it's called. And what this is, it's a wire harness, something similar to a jig head up front with an eyelet where you tie it, but it'll have five wires coming off the back, spreaders, if you will. They each have a snap on them, and you hook a jig head on that and put on your soft plastic of choice. Mine is the Bass Pro Shops Speed Shad in a color that's very similar to the prominent bait fish in whatever body of water I'm fishing. In the creeks and rivers, a lot of times it's shiners and either young of the year walleye or even smallmouth. So I try to select something that has a darker back with a lighter belly, preferably a pearl colored belly, but an olive drab or a green pumpkin or even a blue hue to the back in the rivers that have the blue back herring in them, because it looks like and represents the prominent bait fish in those bodies of water. You're matching the hatch like a fly fisherman does, which you can relate to. And you're showing them something that looks natural, something that looks like what they are chasing right now. And bait fish group up in the fall. So when you're throwing that umbrella rig, you're mimicking a small school of bait fish. Now, the one I prefer to use is made by Yum, Y-U-M, Flash Mob Jr. It's got spreaders, five of them, for five jigs and trailers. But it also has willow leaf blades on each one of those wire spreaders. You get a lot of flash, plus you get it looks like 10 little bait fish with your plastic trailer and with those five willow leaf blades. It looks like a mini school of bait fish. And you talk about exciting when you're throwing that. You need a medium heavy rod to launch it, preferably a 7 or 7.6 rod. Stout baitcaster, stout line. I'll use 15-pound trilene big game when I throw that. And you've got to launch it. You lob the cast. You don't snap it and fire it like you normally would. You swing and lob it out there. Trust me, it'll go a ways because you got a lot of weight there. And I run either 1/8 ounce or 1/4 ounce jig heads. You're throwing a good ounce to 2 ounce of lures there with the plastic and the blades and the jig heads and all that, but it simulates a small shimmering school of bait fish. And the strikes, my goodness, good grief. I had one day a couple years ago when I threw that thing, and one day alone I caught like 11 or 13 smallmouth on it. It was very productive that day. Three times I had doubles. Now I have not had a triple on it yet, but sooner or later, that's going to happen, because I know guys that have done it. And when you have smallmouth grouped up to feed, we've all been out there. I'm assuming we all have. I see it all the time where you catch and hook up with a smallmouth and you bring him to the boat and he's got two or three other smallmouths right there with him, just waiting for that bait to pop out of his mouth. When you throw the umbrella rig, it leaves that open. One fish grabs it, there's still four other bait fish available. That's why you get double hookups. I had one a couple years ago where I had two fish on it. I bring it in alongside the boat, and as I get ready to lift it in, one of the two came unhooked. So I just did a figure eight with it alongside the boat. And sure enough, he spun right around and grabbed another one of those jigs, and I swung both fish in. Pretty cool. Similar to what the musky fishermen do when they have a musky follow to the boat. They do the figure eight in the water. Sometimes you hook up. Sometimes they'll hook a 40, 50 inch muskie, but they've only got about 4 foot of line down, and your rod takes a beating.
So those are real. I've seen videos of the guys doing those figure eights, but I always figured it was fake.
Yeah. It works with an umbrella rig. Trust me.
Have you done it? No kidding.
Yeah. It's cool, because it's right there. And with turnover complete, the water's clear and you see everything happen. It's just so cool. If anybody listening has not thrown an umbrella rig and wants to try it, October is the month to do it. At least here in the Northeast, that's what I've seen. And it'll work in November too. So this is when the fish are grouping up and feeding up big time in preparation for the winter. There's things that trigger this instinctively in fish, all fish, but for me in particular, smallmouth. But I've seen it happen with walleye, with perch, with largemouth, other fish. They all do it. And it's a combination of the shortening of the photoperiod every day, which is the amount of sunlight we have, which is diminishing rapidly. It's a combination of that and the falling water temperatures. Those two cues in nature instinctively trigger these fish to start feeding up for the long winter ahead. And if you know where to go and what to throw, you can look like a genius on the water. I'm talking 80 plus fish days. And I do it every year in November. And we've had some pretty good days in October too. 40, 50 fish a day is the norm if you're in the right spot with the right lure. Now, I did say I use moving baits a lot that time of year, and I do. Spinner baits are great. I like the swim baits, especially, in particular, the Bass Pro Shop Speed Shad on an umbrella rig, or I'll fish it by itself on a small football head jig or a rocker jig, which is one that has a swivel attached to the back of it. It's got a solid line tie, but then there's a swivel attached to the back of the head with a free-floating hook so that it oscillates and moves. And if you put a speed shad on that or the swim bait of your choice, you can throw it and just drag it along the bottom and it'll simulate a bait fish that's probing and feeding on the bottom. And when you put that in the water, trust me, you have just created the first link of the food chain. That's what you're throwing out there, because whenever there's a small fish feeding on the bottom, there's generally a larger fish feeding behind him, and so on and so on. And that's the food chain. And when you put a swim bait out there or a jig on the bottom, you are creating your own first link in the food chain. And they're just looking to feed right now, all the way through into November. And if your water doesn't freeze in December, get your boat out there. They're still biting. They are. In December, it's more you got to hit the right day, because at that point, the water temperature has cooled so much that they're into a winter pattern. And keep in mind, fish are cold-blooded. They're not like us. Their water, their body temperature is the temperature of their surroundings. So when the water temperatures are at winter temperatures, and we're talking in the 30s, most biologists will agree and tell you that fish only need to eat one meal once every 7 or 8 days, because their metabolism is moving so slowly because their body temperature is in the mid-30s. So everything operates slower, digestion is slower. They just don't need to eat that often. It's amazing to me that we can go out and ice fish and ice 100 fish in a day when there's just not that many fish eating. But it goes to how many fish we have in our bodies of water. In most cases, I've learned way more fish than you realize. Using LiveScope has shown that to me. There's way more fish in front of your boat than I ever thought there was. But that's a subject for another day. Right now, as I said, the water temperature is in the mid-60s, dropping into the low-60s. It's a great time for moving baits, like your umbrella rig, like your swim jigs, your swim baits. We all have our favorites. You know what mine is. And I like to throw it on that wobblehead jig, that oscillating jig head, or just a straight jig head, or an umbrella rig. Spinnerbait, standalone by itself, or with a trailer. Depends on what you got now. If the water is off color, because that's the way it is in whatever body of water you're fishing, go with a large Colorado blade, because that'll put out a lot of thump and vibration and help the fish home in on it. If you got real clear water, I go with willow leaf blades, because they have a lot more flash, and a lot of times that's all you need to attract the fish. But I also throw an awful lot of jigs when I'm smallmouth fishing. That's just probably 70% of what I throw. But a crankbait is also good this time of year. Even a jerkbait, when the water gets into the 50s, jerkbaits come into their own. And there's a lot of good ones out there. Berkeley has a lot of good ones. Rapala's always made good ones. And like the pointer, and other jerk baits like that. They're all good. Whatever your favorite is, get out there when the water drops into the 50s and have a blast. But as it goes through the 50 degree range, I like to throw a jerk bait when it's working. Got to have pretty clear water for that. But I also like throwing a blade bait, the old heading. It wasn't the Sonic. They made one called that was a plastic one. They made their metal one like the Silver Buddy. That's what I'm talking about. Blade baits, a flat piece of metal with a lead weight molded into the top of it, egg shaped, and usually three holes punched in it to where you attach your line or your snap. And two swinging treble hooks on them that usually hook on each other. But if your bait's doing that, here's a good tip. If your treble hooks continuously catch and hook each other, remove the front one and put what size smaller treble up there, and that should solve the problem, still giving you a larger hook at the business end. It'll eliminate those hooks from tangling with each other. So as the temperatures, when the water's in the 50-degree range, that is prime time for your jerk baits and your blade baits. They'll still chase, but not as much as they were when it was in the 60s. Your crankbaits, your spinner baits, they'll still work, but you won't get as many strikes. As the water cools into the 50s, they get a little bit more lethargic. You wouldn't know it when you hook them because they still fight like crazy. But keep in mind, when you're using your jerkbait, you're pulling it and pausing it, pulling it and pausing it. The way you throw a blade bait is most people throw it, let it sink to the bottom, and lift and drop, lift and drop. So there's a lot of pauses that give these lethargic fish time to catch up to that bait and nail it, as opposed to tracking a crankbait or spinnerbait and finally striking. They're just not as inclined to do it. They'll still work, but you just won't get as many bites as you did back, you know, when it was 10 degrees warmer. But also in the 50 degree range, I'm leaning heavily on my jigs now, and I'm talking my beloved Fat Albert 5-inch grub. Yes, a 5-inch lure for smallmouth. You won't believe how many it catches. Another favorite is the Bass Pro Shops XPS series grubs. They make them in 4 and 5-inch. If I only had one color to throw, it would be Green Pumpkin Magic. Catches them every place I go, every day I throw it. I have never not had it work. It saved my butt in the last tournament because we just could not get fish. I threw that, and we put a limit in the boat. It was a lifesaver. And I'm throwing my grubs. I will throw a tube. I will throw a Berkeley flatworm. And I throw that on a drop shot rig, which really comes on strong when the water's cold. Fish are feeding heavily, and you can't keep them off a drop shot. However, if I'm in a body of water where I'm constantly getting my drop shot hung up, I'll actually take that flatworm and rig it on a plain old jig head and keep it moving on the bottom. It doesn't snag as much. The way I fish a drop shot is I'll throw it if I'm not looking at the fish and dropping it directly down on it. If I'm just broadcasting it and, you know, trying to cover an area, I won't make an especially long cast. I don't typically do that with a drop shot. I'll make a moderate cast, let it drop to the bottom, and I'll shake it in place. If I don't get bit, I'll pull it towards me, reel up the slack, and then I'll shake it in place again. So I'm always leaving it sitting still and shaking it in place. Some of the rivers I fish, there's areas where there's just too much gravel and it snags constantly. And in that instance, some of the lakes too, in that instance, if I want to stick with that flatworm, because they have been biting it, but I'm just getting hung too much with my drop shot, I'll rig it on a regular 1/8 or 1/4 ounce jig head, depending on the depth and the current, and I'll throw it out and I'll fish it that way. It's a tremendous bait on a jig head. So is the Maxent Hitworm from Berkeley. That's tremendous on a jig head. That's the only way I fish it. They have not given me cause to try it any other way because it's so effective on a jig head. It's crazy the number of fish you can put in the boat with that. If you only have one color to throw, for me, it would be green pumpkin, just pretty much like everybody else. Mark Davis, professional angler, three-time Angler of the Year winner, won the Bassmasters Classic, the first man in history to win the Classic and the Angler of the Year in the same year, and then he went on to win it the next 2 years. He once said, the three best colors are green pumpkin, and green pumpkin, unquote. And he was right. Once the water drops out of the 50s and into the 40-degree range, things are really getting interesting. Once it gets into the 40s, those fish, they're still feeding heavily, now so more than ever. But they're starting to vacate the areas where you had been catching them. And they start, this is now we're out of the fall transition and we're leaning towards more of the next phase in our calendar year, the winter phase, but we're not there yet. And this is when the water temperature is like 48 degrees for me in the rivers I fish has always been the magic number. Once the water hits 48, I can't keep them off a jig most days. Now, there are days when you'll struggle because the water's getting colder. They don't need to feed as much, but they're so busy feeding up for the winter ahead. And this is an instinctive thing. They can't help it. They naturally do this. And for the anglers that know about this, you suddenly look like a genius because you can go out this time of year and catch 60 fish a day. And you can go somewhere else the next day and repeat that on a different body of water. But I'm talking strictly smallmouth now because that's my experience. I'm not fishing for anything else. We will pick up some walleye doing this too because they're doing the same thing. But I'm targeting smallmouth. The walleye I catch are just happen to be in the same area feeding with these smallmouth. I'm not targeting walleye. If I was doing that, I would be checking current seams and going to more faster moving water. And I'm not doing that in my search for smallmouth. I'm gravitating now, just like the smallmouth, to these deeper pools where there's less current flow and they don't have to work so much. Because once the water gets below 40 degrees and into the 30s, these fish are in rivers and creeks and lakes too. They are in their classic wintering holes. Now, if you typically fish a river or a creek, it's easier to locate them in creeks because they don't necessarily have so much of a channel as like a river does. Like the river I fish, the Hudson and the Mohawk, both are used for navigation. So there's channel markers. You always know where the deepest water is.
Right.
But it runs the entire length of the river. So there's got to be some kind of a feature that holds fish at specific places in that channel, like where a tributary creek comes in or where there's a bend in the river and there's a deeper section. Any feature like that, just run your electronics and try to find those deeper holes in these bigger rivers, and they should be holding the fish. I say it's easier in a creek because there isn't a defined channel. It's just creeks have shallow areas, runs and riffles. They have plunge pools, and they also have deep holes. And if you can find these deep holes that have a pretty good holding capacity, the smallmouth stack up in these like cordwood. I learned this decades ago and have, for lack of a better word, exploited it. Every year in November when the water is dropping through to 40s, now I'm throwing strictly, I'll go with five rods, and every single one of those rods is going to have a jig tied to it. One will have a 5-inch grub, one will have a 4-inch grub, Another one will probably have another 5-inch grub in a different color. I'll have a tube and I'll have a Ned rig. Those are my 5 rods, and that's what I'm throwing. If I'm not getting bit on those 5-inch grubs, I'll probably take one off and put a Berkeley flatworm on it. But I'm always throwing a jig. And I tell you what, the 48 degrees is the magic number. That's when they really, really fire up and you cannot keep them off your jig. But as it drops through to 40s, if you thought it was good at 48, hold on, because as it drops each degree, it gets better and better and better. 48 is magic. 42 degrees is off the charts. I am not kidding. This is why I always carry a water temperature gauge with me in my small boats. I have so many different electronics that have the water temperature reading on them. All my portable units, I have 3 portable units, they all have water temperature readouts on them. It's so critical this time of year. We talk about how critical is it in the spring. It's just as critical this time of year if you're chasing the bite. And again, by the time that water is down to 42 degrees in these creeks and rivers, you can forget your shallow flats. You can forget your plunge pools. You can forget your riffles and runs where you caught them in the summer with your moving baits. This goes to the old adage that 90% of the fish are in 10% of the water. This time of year, November, when that water is 42 degrees and below, I can promise you 99% of the fish are in 5% of the water. And it's those deep wintering holes. And if you know where they are, and you know what to throw, in my case, it's always been a jig, never with live bait either. This is all plastic, folks. I refuse to throw live bait, open water. It's just, that's my rule. That's for me, because I fish tournaments. If you want to throw live bait, you're going to catch fish too. It's to each their own. But I will throw nothing but artificials. And in November, when the water is 42 degrees, good grief, it is so hard for me. And this is, now we're into deer season, and I love to deer hunt. I can't not be in the woods. However, if they're calling for it to be like 58 degrees that day, my brain is saying the deer aren't going to be moving. Get on the creek, man. You know, the fish are going to, but you can add 60 more fish to your count. And that's hard for me to ignore. I've passed up a lot of deer hunting days when we've had those warmer falls where it's 58, 60 degrees, and I just spend a lot of time on the creek. And I'll be on the creek, and I'll be catching smallmouth left and right, and I've watched 8-pointers cross the creek and going, they're not supposed to be moving today. I am so torn in November between deer hunting and bass fishing, because if it's going to be a warm day, I know what I can accomplish on the water, and I'm not confident about what I accomplish in the woods. But I do go back and check my trail cameras, and so far, the days that I have selected to be on the water, when I compare them to my trail cameras, I have not had deer movement. So far, so good. And it's much easier to do that if you already have one deer in the freezer. But I have been known to do it when I have had no deer in the freezer, because we have a fairly long deer season. I know it's going to just get better and better for the deer, but if it's 60 degrees, I can't stay off the water. It's just so good that time of year. Now, what about when it drops out of the 40s, when it's into the 30s? They're still going to feed. I have caught them in 33 degree water, and they are still grouped up. Here's the thing. In order to be able to sustain fish throughout the winter, and we're talking smallmouth here, but this applies to most fish, you have to have sufficient depth to sustain these fish through the winter. They're not going to be in 2 and 3 foot of water. They're just not going to be. Sometimes we have 2 feet of ice, and they're just not going there. It can't sustain them. So from November to April. I mean, you've got 6 months when 99% of the fish in that creek are in 5% of the water, and they're grouped up, and they're not leaving that until the water temperature starts coming back up into the mid 40s and up into 50. Then they'll spread out, and when it hits the 50s, they go back to their regular haunts. But it's a very slow progression. So these fish are basically a captive audience for nearly 6 months. But when the water temperature gets into that 30 degree range, and I'm talking, you know, 38 down to 33 degrees, it's very tough some days to get a bite. Because again, they're, each individual fish is only having to eat a meal once every 7 to 8 days, because their metabolism is at the slowest it's going to be out of the entire year. But it's there for 6 months. So there's only going to be so many fish biting on any given day. That being said, I've had days in December, days in January, and days in February where we've caught 30 and 40 smallmouth. It was on, and there are certain times during the day. These wintering holes, it's a small section of the creek, and I know where a number of these wintering holes are. They vary in size, so they can hold different sizes of populations of fish, but these fish know where these holes are, and they group up in these. So if you've got 5 hours to fish, it's not like you're fishing a stretch of a river. You're going to a specific spot, and you're sitting on that spot for that 5 hours. And you can go 2 hours and only have a couple non-committal bumps where you made a contact, but you didn't hook anything. And then all of a sudden, there's an hour and a half where you start catching them. You end up putting 18, 20 fish in the boat, and then like a switch, it's done. The last hour, you get nothing. But hey, you sat there in January when there's nothing else going on except some small game hunting and, I don't know, watching a football game. I don't do that. I fish. I hunt. So you went out in January for 5 hours. You got to be on open water. If you were lucky, you put 18 fish in the books. So that's a win as far as I'm concerned. And again, I'm only throwing a jig. I'm not giving it a lot of action. Generally, a Ned rig, something small. The thing is, with this many fish grouped up in one area, there is always competition for food. And if it's a day when an X amount of those fish are due to feed, you're in the right place at the right time. Give them something small, and they'll, chances are you're going to catch fish. I don't throw as many 5-inch grubs that time of year, unless the water had gotten off color from rain or from runoff, and I need a bigger profile, something that they can spot easier. It goes to water clarity. I check the conditions when I get to wherever I'm going to fish, and I adjust accordingly. That's it. And that pattern will hold those small jigs like a Ned rig, or the max scent on an 1/8-ounce jig head or 1/4-ounce, depending on the depth and the wind and the current. That pattern will hold all the way through until April, until the water temperatures start coming up. Days are longer, more sunlight, days are getting warmer. As the water warms, those groups of fish in those wintering holes will slowly start to break up. And one thing we've learned is these fish will travel some amazing distances to go to wintering holes. Quick story here. I did a radio telemetry study with a student from the college, helped assisted him with his graduate project. And he was tasked with tagging 5 smallmouth in the Schoharie Creek, because the teacher told him that all the fish in Schoharie Creek went to the Mohawk River to winter. And I said, I respect your teacher. He's got his doctorate, okay? But I got a 40-year degree in the field. That's total hooey. That doesn't happen. I catch them in wintering holes in the Schoharie Creek all winter long. They don't leave. There's wintering holes. There's sufficient water to winter them over right in the creek. You just got to find these holes, because some of them are 2 and 3 miles apart. These fish will travel that distance to get to those wintering holes. we tagged 5 fish in one pool that is used as a wintering hole. And those fish left. And at the time, I couldn't figure out why they would leave a wintering hole. But they went downstream about a mile and a half, and they finally relocated them, but it was a bigger wintering hole. Now, it wasn't as deep. It was 2 foot shallower, well, 4 foot shallower. The wintering hole that they had left was 18 foot deep, and they went to one that was only 14 foot deep. Both are sufficient depth. However, the one that they moved down to had 2.5 times the holding capacity as the one that they had left. Keep in mind that we caught the 5 biggest fish we possibly could, and this is where I learned about the 7-inch Zoom Magnum fluke coming into play. That's what we caught them on, by rigging a stinger hook that day. Normally, you don't have to do that. You can catch them. But these were big smallmouth. They all left and went down there after contemplating on it and talking to some biologists. What I determined was the wintering hole that they had left, although it was 18 foot, it had a much smaller holding capacity. And you get a lot of fish from other stretches upriver that were coming down into that wintering hole, and it was getting overcrowded. These 5 fish being the larger ones in that particular pool, that was their home range. They went a mile and a half downriver to where they knew there was a much larger wintering hole where they would have more room. And that one loaded up with fish too, but they had more room there. In April, when the water temperatures came up, all 5 of those fish migrated a mile and a half back upstream to that original hole that was 18 foot deep because that was their normal home range. They just went to a larger hole to winter over. But again, they stayed there for 6 months because that's what they do in the cold water period, the winter period. So we've all got that to look forward to. But right now, the water temperature is in the mid-60s and dropping. Days are getting shorter. Get out there with your moving baits, your crankbaits, your Alabama rigs, your swim jigs, your swim baits, all that stuff. As it drops into the 50s, drop back to your jerk baits and your blade baits for moving baits and start throwing a lot more jigs. And when it gets into the 40s, marry yourself to that jig and catch some fish. Giddy up. It's going to happen, and it's starting to go down right now. I get excited just talking about
it. Yeah, you certainly are.
It's the easiest time of the year to catch fish, as far as I'm concerned, because you can have 60, 70, 80 plus days. I can't tell you how many 80 plus days I've had on lakes and rivers, and it happens every year, and I will keep you posted.
I'll try and do the same thing.
We're going to do it together.
Yes, we are.
We will do it together. I'll put you on one of those bites in November.
Okay, I'm in.
Hold me to that, JD.
I will.
Hold
me to that. I'm going to hold you
to it. You won't believe what you see. You won't believe what you see. I want your take on it when we get done with that trip. We'll do a podcast about that. Giddy up. Oh, yeah.
Giddy up. And giddy on up into Roy's DMs at all lowercase. Roy Bilby on the old Instagram. And please give us a rating and a subscription. It would be wonderful. 5 stars. And share us with a friend. All these things we'd like you to do for us.
I keep getting messages from new people. Want to give a shout out to my buddy Chad Sutliff. He's a professional drummer. He tours all over the U.S. with various bands. I had no idea he was listening. So, Chad, awesome, buddy. Thanks for listening. Get on that creek in those wintering holes. Maybe we'll run into each other. That's where we met, was fishing Schoharie Creek. So,
perfect.
He's a good dude.
All right. Well, that does it for this week.
We'll try to keep coming up with timely topics. This one is timely because everything I talked about, you can go out and apply in the next couple months. Because the whole point of this is to try to help you tap into your angler within.